It's The Takeaway. I'm Lizzie O'Leary. Coronavirus has placed the production of many movies and TV series on hold for the moment. But work is still being done on certain projects that had already finished filming. So today, we're wrapping up the hour by talking with someone who's overseeing the completion of a new series from her home.
My name is Davi Waller. I'm the creator and showrunner of Mrs. America.
Davi's show looks back at a turning point for the women's rights movement of the 20th century. And while prominent feminists like Gloria Steinem and Shirley Chisholm are important figures on the show, the central character is conservative activist Phyllis Schlafly, who amassed grassroots support in the 1970s to halt the ratification of the Equal Rights Amendment. Here she is in 1975 on The Phil Donahue Show.
Now, I think all of these careers are open to women, but you're telling our young women a very false thing if you teach them that that anything else is preferable to being in the home. You're telling them a wrong thing if you teach them that the home is some kind of prison and that marriage is slavery and that the wife is just kind of a glorified prostitute. You're teaching them a false thing if you try to lure them away from that and tell them that there's more fulfillment elsewhere. Now, if they want it, it's okay. Nobody's stopping them.
And here's actor Cate Blanchett, striking a similar tone while playing Schlafly in Mrs. America.
Let me be clear. I am not against women succeeding. I am not against women working outside the home. That's their choice. But what I am against is a small, elitist group of Northeastern establishment liberals putting down homemakers.
For Davi Waller, understanding Schlafly's activism is an essential lesson for today's women's movements.
The more I studied history and the more I looked into Phyllis Schlafly and this counter movement that she put forth, I saw this interesting pattern where every time we take a step forward and there's a social revolution, there's always a counter revolution, there's always a backlash. And if we don't really understand the roots of the backlash, I don't think our social revolutions will be very successful.
I asked Davi to explain how Schlafly was able to turn momentum against the ERA.
No one was against equal rights for women being put into the Constitution. What Phyllis did was she made the issue controversial. And once a constitutional amendment becomes controversial, it becomes very, very hard to get it ratified. And if it doesn't get ratified within the first 2 years of coming out of Congress, it is almost impossible to get it in the Constitution. I mean, there's an effort right now to get it in the Constitution. Last three states ratified within the last 3 years, so we'll see. But traditionally, that is the pattern of constitutional amendments. So she made something that was not controversial controversial, and that's when the problems began.
There are these little moments in the show where you show her experiencing sexism, harassment, you know, asked to take notes in a meeting full of men. What were you thinking about when you decided to show her experiencing that stuff as well, and you know, those little moments of pain on her face?
Well, mostly came out of a desire to be accurate to the time. So we all know there's no way that she lived through the times that she did and never experienced sexism. And even though she herself said she was never discriminated against, we wanted to interrogate that. She, especially since her passion, defense strategy, nuclear policy, that was a man's world back then and probably even now. So it just felt dishonest to not include any sexism in her world. That felt like a completely dishonest view of the history. At the same time, we were more interested not in the very overt ways, because if she was someone who said, I don't believe I've ever been discriminated against, then part of that is some cognitive dissonance on her part, but part of that is also that sexism and discrimination, there's so many nuanced ways in which it comes through. And I think we're interested in the more subtle ways where no one's saying to her, you're not getting this job or you're not getting this position because you're a lady. They do it by sending her out of the room when they start talking about important things.
Well, and there is a sort of comfort to the sexism and the discrimination in the world that she lives in. It is a wealthy world. She has a maid. It's very easy to notice that all of the women in her world are white. And, you know, I guess I wonder how much in this series you were setting out to show the insidious effects of that on women and how women can be lulled into complacency by wealth and by comfort.
That was absolutely at the forefront of our minds when we were, when the writers and I were breaking the stories for every episode. It was not lost on us that many of the homemakers in her army were middle class or upper middle class. And they had the luxury, you know, being able to be a stay-at-home wife and mother is a luxury. Most women are working women. Most women have to work to support their families along with their partners. So her entire organization just ignored that fact. And so we wanted to include that. You know, Willie B. Reed, who was her cook, had to work. She also had a child at home, but she couldn't afford to stay home. So that very much was part of the tapestry of the show that both sides in some ways ignored working class women and the plight of working class women. Not entirely. Gloria Steinem talks about this a lot, but it was definitely leaders on both sides were middle class, upper middle class. And this is an issue that we still face today, that the intersection of race and class with women's issues is not something that's always addressed to the full extent that it should be.
This show is coming out at a time when a lot of productions are on hold, or even productions that have finished filming, you know, people are scrambling to try to make the final tweaks. What's it been like to try to get this out the door as this massive pandemic was, you know, kind of creeping across the world?
I mean, Lizzie, it's been a total nightmare. I mean, I'm so glad you asked that because I would just love to give a shout out to our unbelievable post-production team. You know, we were in the middle of locking. We hadn't quite locked picture in the finale when the shelter-in-place order came in. We're still in the middle of mixing the last three episodes. And within a day, everyone was remote. All the editors were up and running remotely. Our sound mixers have been working through this pandemic without, I've never heard one complaint. We have not missed our deadlines. And, you know, I actually just spoke to Scott Gershon, who does all our sound design, and he got a call from Netflix. And they're like, how are you doing it? So I'm really happy that we can like lead the way in how you accomplish post-production during a pandemic. I just feel really lucky to have one of the most incredible and dedicated teams. But knock on wood, we've been pulling it off. We'll see if those last three make it, but I think they will.
You know, you theoretically have younger women, younger political activists sitting in their living rooms watching this show. Are there things that you want them to take away from this and apply to 2020?
I would say never be complacent. You know, I think I was lulled, you know, as raised a feminist, until you really rise through the ranks, it feels like the world is pretty equal. And I think we all got a little lulled into thinking we were in this post-feminist world and a woman could be president. And that, I think, was a mistake. So I would just say never get complacent. Keep fighting. The things that are worth fighting for all the time, even when you think you're winning, even when you think it's around the corner. You have to keep fighting.
Davi Waller is the creator and executive producer of Mrs. America. Thank you so much for your time.
Oh, it was so fun to talk to you. Thanks, Lizzie.